This is The Cost of Our Desired Wrongs, written by Shasta Firecracker and read by Flower Parish. This is a Star Wars Rebels fic, rated explicit, featuring the relationship Callus/Zeb. This is part two of the Cold Love series. Summary. Zeb and Callus have been working together busting slave operations for almost a year, and the unspoken attraction that's been growing between them finally comes to a head during a blown operation in the underbelly of Coruscant. Hiding in the filthy ductwork of the Undercity, they push each other's buttons a little too hard, and, later, have to deal with the consequences.
Not whole, not wholly, separate but syncopated, single in our nature and because of the times. Not a word was said when the lights came on or a glance given pause at the cost of our desired wrongs. It's second nature to love you, it's first to die, and we were killed upon waking. Killed upon waking to the life we weren't prepared to live or about to realize. We were killed upon the pavement. Bonnie were immortalized.
Zeb had known from the start that this mission would be a bust, but he hadn't let himself trust his gut. Callus had talked him into it with numbers. Callus always has criffing numbers for whatever he wants to do, and he won't listen when Zeb tells him things feel off but can't say why. And then Callus gets deeper and deeper entrenched into his own plan, heels dug in, and he talks Zeb's ears off about why it will work until Zeb just gives up every time. And usually, infuriatingly, Callus is right. And the plans work even when they're dangerous and barely have any margins, and Callus comes out of it all just as smug and untouchable as ever. And Zeb wants to kill him. Carabast, but the idea of just taking Cal's shoulders and shaking him until his head pops off sounds so good. But Callus still thinks he deserves it, and tells Zeb so with infuriating frequency. Self-centered asshole. He may have embraced the fact that the Empire is evil, and that he did evil things in its service, but he hasn't gotten it through his thick, blonde idiot skull that he's not allowed to demand a meaningful death. Especially not from Zeb. He's been cut down in life, but Ashla knows he hasn't learned any humility from it. They're booking it into the deepest, filthiest parts of Coruscant, down in the 2000s, barely above the uninhabitable layers reclaimed by a planet surface that hasn't seen its own sun in a millennia. Honestly, Zeb would rather deal with the sightless, toxic waste-eating horrors below them than the Empire right in the middle of its seat of power. How in seven hells did I let you convince me coming here could ever be a good idea? Zeb pants, as he follows Callus's boiler suit-clad back. Callus doesn't answer, just grunts as he stops to heave a broken circulator unit aside. Like Zeb needs the reminder that the air down here is barely breathable. What? Go! Callus hisses, revealing a hollow vent tube less than a meter wide. Can't fit in there, Zeb says. Yes you can, Karking do it, Callus snaps. The boot falls behind them are audible again, which means death troopers are too close for them to be having an argument. Zeb casts his bow rifle into the tube ahead of him, drops down, and shoves himself in headfirst with all his strength. He gets further in than he expects to. It's too tight, yes, but there's a slick film of old grease and unspeakable substances all around him, and pooling at the bottom of the tube. Zeb grits his teeth and digs his claws into the metal walls, using the leverage to pull himself along. He can't see how far it goes, but his shoulder bumps his bow rifle soon enough. Past his feet, he hears Callus thunking and wriggling around to get inside, and then the heavy scrape of the circulator moving over steel again. Zeb's no longer taken by surprise by Callus's physical strength. The man's a brute, and also perfectly willing to hurt himself to get a job done. If Zeb has to pop his shoulder back into place later, it won't be the first time. Callus thumps the walls of the tunnel as he shimmies to catch up, until all of a sudden a boot kicks Zeb in the knee. Zeb hisses, "Watch it." The tube is pitch black. Callus wriggles more and kicks Zeb again. "Kark," he snaps. "Get moving." "No, hush," Zeb says, ears twitching. They're coming down the alley. The boot gets him in the thigh this time as Callus squirms closer. "Stop Griffin moving," Zeb growls. "Why'd you go in backwards anyway?" "I had to pull the unit after me." "Shh, you asked." Zeb grabs Callus's leg with his own prehensile toes and digs his claws into his boiler suit disguise. Callus makes a tiny noise of pain, but shuts up. The boots are audible even to human ears now. Both of them lie perfectly still in the pitch darkness, listening to the hurried marching. Slowly, to prevent cramping, Zeb releases Cal's leg and lets his foot relax. His legs are longer than Callus's. This means that where Cal's boots are touching Zeb's inner knee and thigh, Zeb's stretched out, relaxed toes are a bit higher up. Zeb scrunches his face into a grimace and tries to move his foot back a bit, but he thumps his knee into the tube wall with a metallic echo. Outside, the boots are closer than ever. All the search team has to do is look behind one broken appliance, and they'll find two of the most wanted men in the galaxy playing accidental footsie in a pool of toxic algae and critter leavings. Why is this Zeb's life now? Zeb's leg shifts ever so slightly with his breathing. He knows he can't pull his knee up, but he keeps trying to shrink his toes away from Callus's pants and only halfway succeeding. Fabric brushes the thick soles of his feet, almost ticklish, and Zeb scrunches his face up to keep it together. So quiet that only Zeb's sensitive ears could possibly pick it up, Callus breathes, "Stop that." By way of response, Zeb slowly extends his claws and pricks the top of Cal's thigh. He hears the faintest possible noise in the back of Callus's throat. Then, the Death Trooper bootfalls are right outside, and neither of them dare to so much as breathe too deep. To prevent the ticklish brush of fabric on his feet, Zeb has to let his toes relax forward, pressing gently against Callus's crotch. Zeb winces, but ticklish things give him the urge to sneeze, and he can't afford that. At least now his sinuses aren't tingling. Troopers search the area for what feels like an eternity. And for the whole time, in perfect silence, Zeb cannot avoid feeling what's happening under his foot. He tells himself humans can't help that evolution gave them poorly designed external genitalia. He tells himself that if someone were gently pressing on his sheath for upwards of half an hour, he'd probably slick up too, maybe even avert a bit. He tries to appreciate the fact that Callus can remain silent as a ghost through what must be an excruciating, humiliating experience. He thinks these things academically, on purpose, keeping his brain away from the two things it really wants to scream at him, which are, "I'm gonna criffing murder Cal after this," and, "I know the size and shape of his erected dick now, and I'm never gonna unlearn that." They've been running together for months. It might be coming up on a year. Zeb hasn't really been paying attention to the calendar. At first, it was practical. Callus didn't want to leave Zeb, and let you get snapped right back up by slavers after the work it already took to break you out. And Zeb didn't want to leave Callus. "Just cause I ain't gonna rip your throat out doesn't mean I want you out there doing Ashla knows what without eyes on you." And both of them were at the ends of their tethers, lost for purpose and meaning in a galaxy that had thrown both of them out with the trash. After the first few weeks of just running and surviving, Zeb had decided to take up Callus's leads on Lassan survivors. Callus had fallen into the role of Zeb's backup with clear relief at having the reins taken from him, quick and willing to follow Zeb's orders. That hadn't lasted long. Callus had his own internal moral compass, clearly, but he chafed against Zeb's laissez style of leadership. Callus took it on himself to plan, whereas Zeb preferred gathering intel by mingling, drinking, chatting, and following his instinct. Callus wanted to slice instead, and break into offices and terminals, and pick pockets if necessary. They'd argued about how to go forward. They'd argued a lot. But eventually, they'd settled into a decent team. Both of them had their skill sets, and they complemented each other fairly well. They created their own mission parameters, usually with the goal of making enough credits to keep themselves fed and fueled, or, on their best days, of dismantling slaving operations with great prejudice. So far, none of the leads about surviving Lasat had panned out. Zeb took each bust out on another set of slave traders, and it always made him feel better. The one big letdown was that neither of them were pilots, so daring escapes to hyperspace are rare. Most of the time, their best bet is going to ground and finding a safe house to lay low in for a couple of weeks until they can make their way back to wherever Cal's ship is parked, or, occasionally, impounded. And sometimes, even the safe house thing is a pipe dream, and their best bet is wedging themselves into ancient, sewage-filled vents and holding their breath. Zeb closes his eyes and focuses on listening. Nothing else. Not the heat seeping through Callus's pants into the sole of Zeb's foot. Not the way he can feel Cal's pulse in his thigh if he concentrates. Callus's breathing is shallow but steady, his heart rate no faster than it had been during the entire escape. Zeb might try to scent his arousal, but he can't smell anything over the awful stench in this vent tube, and besides, he's focusing on listening to stormtroopers. Right. The boot steps seem to be reconvening nearby, but not in the same corridor where they're hidden. One over. One modulated voice raises, shouting commands. Zeb can't make out the words, but it could be new search parameters, or the order to fall back and search a different sector. Clinking boots move away. Zeb can still hear them, faintly, when Callus whispers, "Zeb?" Zeb flicks an ear and breathes out a "shh." The troopers must already be out of earshot for Cal, but Zeb wants to wait until they're out of earshot for him. "Finally, finally," Zeb murmurs. "We're clear." Callus lets out a long breath. "Move," he says, short and sharp. Zeb starts scooting back the way he came, expecting Callus to do the same, and instead just shoves his foot very hard against Callus's sensitive situation. Callus lets out a punch noise with the barest hint of a squeak. "The other way!" "You should have said that!" "Would you just criffing?" With several more muffled curses at each other's expense, they haul and wriggle themselves along the vent tube until Zeb finally smells fresher air. He barely manages to snag his bow rifle before it falls out of the vent ahead of him, holding on tight so it doesn't clang against anything and give their location away. Grimacing, Zeb manages to shuffle himself around onto his belly so he can see where he's going, and, thankfully, finds that the floor is only a few feet away rather than a massive drop. Zeb flops out of the vent as quietly as he can, swallowing a growl of disgust at the sight and feel and smell of himself after scraping through all that toxic vent sludge. He sets his bow rifle down on the floor and reaches into the tube to find Callus's boots. The human is moving much more slowly without claws to pull himself along, but he's close. Zeb catches a boot and pulls, eliciting a small yelp that echoes in the metal. Once Zeb has Callus halfway out, it's difficult not to notice the prominently tented crotch at Zeb's eye level, but then Callus scrambles the rest of the way, dropping his feet to the floor, standing, and shaking himself with a faint hiss. The room they've ended up in is small, just a wide spot in a corridor, really, with rusted vent panels on two walls and an uneven, dented floor with a grate in one corner. One anemic light still struggles to live, casting the whole space in faint, pale green and deep shadows. With Zeb's night vision, he'd prefer no light at all to that sickly, distracting contrast of bright and dark. Callus immediately goes for the utility pouches that pad the front of his worker's uniform and pulls out a pack of sani wipes. "Get it off your skin," he says, shoving some at Zeb. "Every substance this deep is unsafe to contact. We're lucky it wasn't acidic." "Didn't touch skin," Zeb grumbles, but he takes the wipes anyway because the gunk is nasty enough just in his fur. He scrubs as much off as he can and watches Callus do the same out of the corner of his eye. He wonders if they're gonna talk about what just happened. "What's still happening," Zeb amends, eyes drifting down Callus's body. "How'd that even work?" Zeb questions. "How'd you know there was a hole?" Callus bundles up the now toxic wipes and shoves them under a heap of rubbish in the corner. "These older model circulators are easy to strip for materials you can sell for credits under the table. I saw piping with the wires stripped out on the way here, so I took an educated guess that the circulator housing would be empty too." Guess, Zeb says, disbelieving. What, the greatest strategic mind of our age didn't have a perfect plan for once? Criffew, Callus snaps. Zeb snorts, and before he can think better of it, he says, yeah, bet you would. Zeb wonders if Callus knows how visible he is to Zeb, even in this murky dimness. Wonders if Cal is aware that Zeb can see exactly how dark his face flushes, exactly how wide his eyes go, before he schools his face back to a scowl. Callus whirls to one of the other vent panels and starts digging at the edges of it to see if he can get it open. That meant nothing, Callus says, his clenched teeth audible even with his face turned away. And it was your fault for not getting out of my way. Was it? Zeb says flatly. Callus growls under his breath and heaves at the vent without luck. They've been running together for months, and while at first they were purposeless and grated against each other in all the worst ways, they've found their stride now. They've figured out how their skills can mesh. They've adapted and modified their tiny squad deployment shuttle to make it possible to live together in a small space without rooms, without privacy. They each make some token effort to look away when the other is dressing, or inside the galaxy's smallest sonic, but enough glimpses add up. Zeb knows Callus's body by now. Most of it, anyway. Zeb never found himself particularly attracted to humans before, but the human standard of beauty runs so counter to his Lasat sensibilities that it makes sense to him why he wasn't turned on by lithe, hairless softness. Humans are, on average, quite childlike to Zeb. They can't help it, and he doesn't hold it against them. But Zeb's never seen a human like Callus for such a long period of time before, or in such close quarters. He's nearly Zeb's size, strong and highly physical, and he's furry and he has spots. His feet are even dexterous. Zeb saw him pick up a towel with his toes once when his hands were full, and Zeb had to spend the rest of that day awkwardly hunched up. And Callus has scent. Not as strong or nuanced as a Lasat, and every time he takes a sonic, it strips the scent off him, but then he'll work up a sweat on a mission, or he'll train with his bow rifle, or he'll even just get heated about an opinion, and then that rich, dark, earthy smell will come back, faint enough not to take up Zeb's entire attention, but strong enough to be an endless tease. Plus, Zeb would have to be eye-blind, ear-blind, and nose-blind not to notice how Callus's body reacts to Zeb's. The ex-Imperial covers as well as he can, but humans are defenseless against Lasat noses. When Zeb's the one in the sonic, or pulling on his jumpsuit or training, he knows exactly what Callus's body is screaming while his voice is silent. Chances to be alone are few and far between, but Zeb's given up pretending he isn't thinking about the smell of Cal's arousal whenever he does get a rare chance to touch himself. A year ago, Zeb would have punched anyone who dared suggest he might be horny for this brash, entitled, overdramatic war criminal with a guilt complex the size of a Star Destroyer and a death wish. Maybe even as little as a month ago, Zeb would have let this whole thing drop, because even though he'd grown to understand and care about Callus, he wouldn't have been prepared to change their working relationship. But right now, Zeb's running hot on the adrenaline of almost getting captured. He knows the shape and heat of Cal's erection. Everything around him stinks except for Cal's sweat. And he knows that whatever Cal's mouth says, his libido is screaming for Zeb's attention. If they're not gonna make it off Coruscant, Zeb doesn't want to die without pushing this one big red button and finding out what happens. So, Zeb steps up behind Callus and reaches over his shoulders to the stubbornly rusted-shut vent panel. When Zeb's front presses up along Callus's back, the human freezes. "What are you doing?" Callus whispers. Zeb carefully finds the edges of the panel with his fingertips, then extends his claws into the seams between metal sheets. He tenses with raw strength, knowing Callus can feel the flex of his chest, and slowly, with a low screech of old metal, pulls the vent cover off the wall. The space behind the cover is filled with stinking dirt, trash, and rust. Against Zeb's chest, Callus is breathing too shallow and too fast. "Guess we're not going that way," Zeb says in a quiet growl, his mouth nearly touching Callus's ear. Zeb sets the vent panel gently down on the floor and puts his hands on Cal's shoulders. Want me to check the other one? He purrs. What are you doing? Callus whispers again, but it sounds completely different this time. Urgent, almost panicked. Zeb pricks the barest tips of his claws against Callus's neck, drawing across his nape and down the top of his back. He can see every single one of Callus's body hairs jump, goose flesh surging across his skin, and the spike in his scent is delightful. Not getting out of your way, Zeb says. Callus mouths for a second, swallows twice. Zeb can feel him trying to pull himself together, in the tension of his shoulders and the way his hands clench into fists. He finally rasps, "Stop," in as commanding a tone as he can manage while being quiet. Zeb gently scrapes his claws down Cal's neck again and breathes on his ear when he says, "Nah." "This is deeply inappropriate," Callus whispers. "Yeah?" "I'm not interested in whatever game you're playing." "Try again," Zeb growls. "If you're gonna lie, at least make it believable." Callus breathes hard in silence for a long moment. Zeb scents his hair. Cal's nearly trembling now, pent up and confused and resisting with all his might. Zeb won't actually force anything, couldn't fathom doing something that cruel, but he knows Callus by now, and he's sick of the man's self-denial. Callus will think he doesn't deserve this, probably. That's his usual line to deny himself anything even the slightest bit positive or enjoyable. Finally, Callus whispers, "Do you really think this is a good time or place to have this discussion?" Zeb chuckles. "Wasn't thinking much about discussing." Callus whispers, "You're mad. You don't want this. You can't." "You've been real sure about what I want since the day we met," Zeb says, and finally lets his mouth touch Callus's neck for a moment. "And you haven't been right about it once." Callus lets out a long, shuddering breath. His head tips slightly to the side. Zeb brushes his throat with the tip of a fang, and Callus makes a broken noise and shoots one hand out to the edge of the open vent to hold himself up. "Tell me we gotta lay low for a while," Zeb growls, and slides the tip of his tongue across Callus's pulse. Breathing hard, Callus manages, In 2 hours local, there'll be a shift change at the Duracrete plant a floor above. We can move with the workers." "So I'm hearing that we got at least an hour to kill," Zeb says. Callus gives a tiny whine. "In silence," he says, jerky. "Ideally." "Well," Zeb says, "maybe you better bite something then." "I never..." Cal gasps as Zeb runs his claws down Callus's back. "I haven't agreed to anything. "Do," Zeb prompts him, sliding his hands down to cup Cal's ass and squeeze. "Agree." "To what even?" Callus whines. "Carabast, who cares to what?" Zeb whispers carelessly. "You're the best smelling thing on this Criffin planet. Want to make you sweat more so I can give my nose a break from sewage. Get this whole mission out of my head for a bit." He licks the back of Cal's neck. "Both our heads. Maybe if you loosen up, it'll help you think of a way out of here." Callus breathes. "Criff, fuck, I can't." "You can. Who's gonna tell? The rats." Then Callus says, "Zeb," in a tone like he's begging for his life, and Zeb knows he's finally crossed that line that Zeb's been pulling him toward. Zeb huffs, "Yeah," against Callus's hair, and slides his hands around to Callus's front, only to bang into Callus's hands trying to do the same, struggling with the fasteners for the dull gray boiler suit Cal donned for this mission. Zeb lets his deft human fingers handle the fasteners and grabs his hips instead, pulling Cal's ass back against his covered sheath, rumbling a light purr into Cal's hair as he finally gets some pressure on his already slicking entrance. Zeb wants to criff this man blind, but realism catches up with him at least a little bit. It's filthy down here. He sincerely doesn't know enough about human anatomy to know if it can handle Lasat anatomy, and if they get caught because they're knotted and can't run, then Zeb might actually die of humiliation on the spot. Still, Zeb knows exactly what he wants, and he can only hope it's something human males enjoy as much as another male Lasat would. The boiler suit goes loose around Callus's shoulders, and Zeb drags it down, uncovering a pale, freckled back. Callus writhes and jerks his hands free of the sleeves. The moisture-proof material of the uniform has kept all of the toxic chemicals of Coruscant's underbelly off of most of Callus's body, but has also insulated him so much that he's slick with sweat. Zeb drags his tongue between Cal's shoulder blades with a faint groan, taking in the salt and warmth and tension. Garazeb. Shh, Zeb hushes. Tell me if I gotta stop, yeah? What about you? I'm getting exactly what I want. Don't worry your pretty head about it, Zeb tells him, and yanks uniform and underwear down around Callus's thighs before dropping to his own knees. He thinks he hears Callus huff a disbelieving, pretty, before breaking off into a helpless noise as Zeb laughs the sweat out of the dip in his lower back. Zeb digs his thumbs into the meat of Cal's ass and pulls him open, pressing his face in until the horrible riot of Coruscant's unwelcome smells are completely eclipsed by human musk. Above him, Zeb hears Cal make an aggrieved noise into his own shoulder, muffled, and possibly some angry muttering in there about this being unsanitary, but all Zeb can do is laugh and start licking. All the air goes out of Callus's lungs, and all the strength goes out of his knees. He wobbles, and Zeb holds him up easily, which probably only adds to the issue, but Zeb doesn't care. Cal's sweat tastes earthy and rich, his skin incredibly saturated with salt here, and beneath the surprisingly thick fur, his skin is so soft he all but melts in Zeb's mouth. Zeb hasn't done this to a human before, but it's shockingly similar to licking out a sheath, with the exception that Zeb knows nothing's going to avert because Cal's dick is already bobbing free and hard. Zeb scoots Cal's legs as far apart as they can get, with cloth trapping his thighs, and is able to get his tongue past Callus's hole and onto his soft, furred balls and the tender space behind them. He takes his time, long, languid stripes of his textured tongue along the swells and nooks of Callus's ass, luxuriating in the heady scent of musk and arousal and the bitter top note of precum that eventually joins. Zeb brings his focus back to Cal's hole, grooming the fur there with a hitched rumble of approval in his chest, then starting to add pressure. He feels a sudden slapping around the top of his head and flicks his ear in annoyance. He kneads Cal's ass so firmly he nearly lifts the man to his toes, pointing his tongue and pressing in. The hand on his head finally grabs an ear and twists. Zeb hisses in sudden pain and jerks his head away, flattening his ears back. What? He hisses. Callus doesn't answer for a moment. Can't, maybe, the way he's breathing like he's just been saved from drowning. Finally, he whispers, don't. Don't what? Callus just shakes his head and turns his face into his shoulder, hiding his eyes. Let me do something for you, he groans, faint and muffled. Zeb huffs against Cal's ass and kneads at his quivering thighs. Thoughtfully, he reaches up and wraps a hand around Callus's cock, giving one good squeeze and stroke. And the noise Callus makes, quiet, still so quiet, is both angry and unbelievably sexy. That's it, Zeb thinks. It's too good, Cal's too close, and he can't stand that Zeb's making him feel good without reciprocity, or maybe he can't stand that Zeb's making him feel good, period. That Zeb could even want to. A little meanness curls up in Zeb's chest, the part of him that still wants to hurt Callus but doesn't want to kill him, the part of him that knows Callus suffers most when shown kindness, when a galaxy that Callus was once cruel to refuses to be equally cruel in return. Every time Zeb is kind to Callus, it twists the knife in his gut. You can do something for me, Zeb says, pitched low and play sweet. Anything, Callus whispers. You can bite something to keep quiet while I wreck ya, Zeb says, and goes back to eating Cal's ass like his life depends on it. Zeb puts his ears back so that Callus can't grab them, and also so he can pretend he doesn't hear the choked-off, mewling sob that Callus presses into his own forearm along with his teeth. Callus starts to shake even harder, and Zeb takes his cock in hand again and gives him a loose few strokes while Zeb pushes his tongue right up into Callus's resisting hole. Callus comes silently. Zeb's actually impressed. He can feel the waves of tension seizing through the man, the way he jerks and clenches on Zeb's tongue. There's the sudden bitter-sour smell of release, and Callus's rapid breathing going ragged and deep. Then, Zeb scrunches his face and withdraws his tongue, because there's another hint of a smell. Tangy, metallic, impossible to mistake. Callus has drawn blood from himself. Zeb lets go of Cal's dick and pushes himself upright, moving his hands to Cal's waist and leaning over his shoulder to look. Callus turns his face away from his forearm and pants harshly. Two half-moon tooth marks are carved deep into his arm, a few of the deepest points trickling blood. Zeb knows how blunt human teeth are. The amount of pressure needed to break skin is immense. "Cal," Zeb whispers in clear admonition. Callus shakes his head, refusing or unable to speak. "I meant bite something out of your pockets, maybe," Zeb mutters, but even as he says it, he knows it's a stupid thing to say, and that this is his fault. He knows what Callus is like. He shouldn't have pushed him like that. In a gentler whisper, Zeb says, "Did good, coming for me like that. Just what I wanted." Callus's breath hitches. There's a whine stuck in the back of his throat that Zeb might not be able to hear if he weren't Lasat. "You still want to do me right?" Zeb asks, breathing the question into Cal's ear. He rocks his crotch against Cal's bare ass, letting him feel the half-unsheathed hardness there. "Want a taste?" Callus sucks in a deep breath and nods hard, fast. Zeb carefully lets go of his waist and steps to the side, turning to lean against the wall next to the open vent, making sure Callus is watching, before Zeb unzips his bodysuit and rolls it down his waist and a little further, revealing the wet spot of his slick and the dark head of his swelling cock. Callus moves over in front of him, and Zeb won't let him drop right to his knees too hard. Zeb catches him by the arms, helps lower him slowly enough not to crack a kneecap, and wake up every critter in the sector. Zeb would give a warning about shape, girth, knot, spines, etc., but Callus doesn't give him a chance. Cal dives onto Zeb's cock as if with sheer relief, his enthusiasm immediately overwhelming to Zeb. Most non-Lasat take a second to assess the situation, figure out an approach. Not Callus. He drags his tongue up Zeb's length, heedless of the potential for injury, and makes a faint sound like he might be dying, and then he wraps his hand around the base and engulfs all of Zeb that he can take in a single press. "Carabast," Zeb hisses through bared, gritted teeth, hand immediately going to Cal's head, but uncertain if he should give direction. He'd mostly unsheathed just from the delicious scenting, but the heat and pressure of Callus's mouth has the last inch or so of him straining out of his sheath in seconds. Zeb's eyes water at Callus's talent, somewhere in the back of his brain noting that this can't be Cal's first or even 100th time deep-throating, surely, not with how he flattens his tongue out of the way and all but unhinges his jaw to press down until his nose is nearly brushing the wet fur of Zeb's sheath. The wet, sloppy noise of it is obscene. Then Zeb's heat-addled brain notes, "Noise." "Shh," he manages, gathering a handful of Callus's hair and tugging. "Sounds like a whole colony of sligs down there." Callus huffs sharply, the exhale from his nose ruffling Zeb's fur, but he concedes to the tug of Zeb's hand pulling him back until his throat isn't making viscous clicking sounds. He doesn't pull off all the way, though, just bringing his other hand up to help cover the length he's not allowed to suck, kneading and thumbing over each of Zeb's slick-producing nubs in deliberate turn until Zeb's panting and tensing with pleasure. Zeb's peak approaches steadily and faster than he's used to. The circumstances, he thinks, the unsafe place, the fact that it's Callus and they've been dancing around each other for so long, not to mention how long it's been for Zeb since anything was on him beside his own hand. It feels so criffing good, Zeb's swimmy with it, no longer able to judge the noise level because his own pulse is pounding in his ears. He tugs at Cal's hair just because he can, and knows the moan Cal lets out is far too loud, but he can't care because now he knows how Cal moans, and he wants to hear it again and again. The pleasure pooling in his gut rises sharply, and Zeb jerks on Cal's hair harder, knowing full well that humans release a lot less than Lasat do, and that Callus isn't prepared for it. But Callus moves one of his hands to Zeb's wrist and digs in his fingernails hard enough to bite with pain. So Zeb hisses and lets go of Cal's hair, and then, without a chance to give warning, he's coming. The swell of pleasure finally overtopping the dam and breaking it down to flood out through Zeb's body, spiking every limb with heat, making him shake and pant and curse under his breath. Callus swallows. Zeb's stunned, and not just by the orgasm leeching the strength from his body. Callus's throat works hard, clicking and gagging around the amount of Zeb's release, but Zeb's looking down at him and only sees one small gush escape from the side of his mouth, running down his chin and dripping on the metal floor. Finally, Callus makes a slightly disgruntled gurgling noise and jerks his head back, mouth open enough that Zeb can see it's still full before Callus snaps his jaw shut and struggles to swallow again without coughing. The silence that descends between them is profound. It's broken only by Zeb's heavy breathing and Callus choking back a quiet, phlegmy cough and spitting once to the side. As the hot, driving haze clears, Zeb's heart starts to sink as he questions what he's just done. Callus isn't talking, and there's no way he's okay after that. Callus isn't ever okay, but Zeb's gotten so used to how Callus is that he's let himself become dismissive of it, just rolling his eyes at every self-effacement and suicidal red flag because he knows nothing'll come of it, and Callus is just being dramatic. Always so dramatic. He's a force of nature in his convictions, his drive, his desperate, urgent need to fix the galaxy. But Zeb forgets, or deliberately ignores, that all of that drive is really just Callus running as fast and as far away from himself as he can, always terrified to slow down long enough for who he used to be to catch up. This, acknowledging the mutual attraction, acting on it, it's slowed them down. It's made Callus stumble. And suddenly, Zeb's worried about what might be catching up with him. "Hey," Zeb says into the quiet. He tugs his bodysuit up over his hips, covering his cock, which is already retreating. He reaches a hand down. Callus doesn't take it, puts his hand out against the wall instead to steady himself as he pushes to his feet. Without looking anywhere near Zeb, Cal pulls his underwear up, shimmies back into the top half of his worker's uniform, and fastens himself in. He briefly rubs his chin, then rubs that hand on his pants, and digs in one of his many pockets until he turns up work gloves. "You got back done one of those," Zeb whispers. "Your arm shouldn't leave skin unbroken with how crift up it is down here." Callus still doesn't reply. He looks at the floor and turns in a small circle, eyeing the space. "Cal," Zeb says. "Remove the other vent cover, please," Callus says, quiet and only a little hoarse. "Now, please," Callus says flatly, and goes to the grate in the floor to pry it up. Zeb's stomach twists, and he chews on the inside of his mouth. Criff, he shouldn't have done any of that. Callus isn't gonna talk about it. Ever, maybe. Zeb needs to talk about it, needs the door he just broke down to lead to somewhere, even if that somewhere is just an acknowledgement that it'll never happen again. But Callus doesn't operate like that. He puts things in locked drawers and eats the keys. No, he dissolves the keys in acid. Zeb has no idea how many things in Callus's life the man has simply never acknowledged again the moment they were over. Zeb pulls his bodysuit the rest of the way back on and goes to the other vent. He pries the cover off, this time revealing a duct packed with bundles of cabling and filtration devices, vermin chewed, but largely intact. He makes a noise to get Cal's attention. Cal gives up on the space beneath the floor and comes over. "This is good," Callus says, yanking on a conduit line. He directs Zeb to pull a few components out, breaking seals where necessary, and then pushes his head into the space Zeb's opened up. He comes back out with grease smudged on his forehead. "It's been worked from the other side," he says, "but they must have had to abandon the job before finishing. Pull out everything and I'll strip what's valuable. We might need something to barter for safe passage." A dozen things to say jumble up in Zeb's mouth. He's screaming inside, wanting Cal to say or do anything that'll make Zeb feel less like he's going crazy. Instead, he swallows hard, reaches into the vent housing, and starts pulling wires. How do you know all this? He grunts after a while, shuffling back out of the duct for the dozenth time with another armful of junk. He can see where the tube clears out just ahead, so they'll be able to worm their way to freedom soon. Callus has a multi-tool out and a significant roll of stripped wire looped over his shoulder already. He clips a couple of precise spots on what Zeb hands him, bites the end off something, and the good stuff separates from the trash like magic. Cal spits the bitten bit off to the side and starts over again with another piece. Same reason I thought I could plan around the patrols, Callus says shortly. Familiarity. Zeb knows Coruscant is Cal's homeworld, but it hadn't really hit Zeb what that meant before now. You're from here, he says, finally understanding. Not the planet, I mean. Here. Had you assumed otherwise? Callus asks, snide as ever. Kinda, Zeb mutters, and glances around the space with fresh eyes. Glances at Cal's quick work on the wires with fresh eyes, too. Scavenging materials for credits under the table, Zeb thinks, his gut panging again. And those circulator tubes are ideally sized for a child to climb through, huh? You're inventing pathos where there is none, Callus mutters with a scowl. Not, Zeb objects. Callus waves a hand vaguely at Zeb's ears. Dreadful liar, get back to work. 40 minutes local before the Duracrete plant shift change. If we're not with them, it'll be another 12 hours. Carabast, Zeb grumbles, but he sure as hell doesn't want to be stuck here another 12 hours, so he does whatever Callus orders him to. When the circulator tube is finally open, Zeb clears his throat and says, "Get in first, put your feet on my shoulders, I'll push ya." Callus nods assent, as Zeb's claws and leg strength give him the undeniable advantage. With a sick, sinking heart, Zeb gives up on the idea that he'll ever get to know what Cal thinks about their momentary lapse of judgment. They leave with a pound of material for barter, and they end up needing every bit of it to wend their way back through the suffocating labyrinth of Lower Coruscant. It takes nearly 2 days to get back to their ship, moving in careful bursts with the drift of local foot traffic, negotiating for workers' silence, and laying low for hours in between. At no point does Callus sleep. He doesn't even show signs of tiredness. Zeb can feel every dragging, leaden ounce of his own body by the end of it, and he could cry at the sight of their old junker of a ship, at the promise of a cot and a sonic and the relative safety of hyperspace. But even when the ship is in sight, Callus makes them hold back for another hour to watch for patrols, refusing to move out of cover until he's beyond certain that they haven't been tracked. During that final hour, Zeb takes the last few strands of precious cable and meanders around a local market, keeping his head down and pretending to be slow in the head and bad at basic to defuse any attention his appearance might draw. He stretches out every last desicredit he can wrangle in search of food. They'll need fuel, too, soon, but this isn't the place to get it. They can't eat credits, so they're better off escaping with food than with funds. When he returns to Callus, he gets a once-over and a brief nod of approval. His ears flick. The nod is rare, coming from Cal. It's irritating how getting one of those nods always warms Zeb's chest with a little bloom of pride. He's better than that. He huffs at Callus, flashing a fang tip, and Callus gives him an eye roll in return, and for just a moment, it's almost like things are normal between them again. It couldn't be more clear that things are not normal between them. It's been 2 days. They're drifting in unoccupied space at the moment, theoretically taking a breather to recover from the spectacular bust of an op on Coruscant. But Callus is not taking a breather. Unsurprising, Zeb isn't sure the man knows how to use his brain for anything other than work, but it's different this time, because Callus still isn't sleeping. He'd passed out for a few hours right after they made it out of core space, but since then, Zeb's only caught him with his eyes closed once, sitting stiff-backed in the pilot's chair with his arms crossed like a corpse laid out in warrior's pose. He still feels bad about poking Callus then, because he'd been worried something was wrong, only for Callus to jerk and blink awake. He'd scowled at Zeb, but not before Zeb had seen the abject panic that had seized him upon waking. Zeb's sure Cal needed the sleep, He's also sure Cal didn't need whatever dreams came with it. It's been almost a year of living in close quarters. They both have nightmares. Zeb hasn't asked about Callus's. Callus hasn't asked about his. Every now and then, one of them will avoid sleep for an extended stretch, dreading the next trip to their own personal hells. This feels different, though. They have a collapsible cooking unit that Zeb insisted on buying months ago, and which Callus had scoffed at, saying ration bars are always cheaper and more than sufficient. Zeb heartily disagreed. He can't do a lot with a single pathetic heating element and a couple of pans, but he can at least make something hot once in a while, and sometimes a bite of hot food with flavor to it is all it takes to give him the will to live for another day. He isn't sure Cal has eaten much of anything since they left Coruscant, along with a lack of sleep, and Zeb's finally had enough of his self-denial. Zeb will make Callus eat and rest if he has to force-feed him and then sit on him until he passes out. So, Zeb pulls out their precious, dwindling block of Corellian-spiced meatloaf, carves off a couple of slices, and tosses them in a pan to heat through and get the great crispy edges that even Callus can't complain about. A couple of flatbreads with smears of onion jam, the crisped meat rolled up inside, it's the best thing Zeb can cook on their dinky little ship, and Callus knows it. Zeb takes the food up to the command console and drops himself in the co-pilot's seat, where he spends about half of his life these days. He holds out one of the flatbreads across the space between him and Callus. Callus looks over at him, glaring as usual, but Zeb could swear he sees the corner of Cal's mouth trying to twitch up. With a huff, Callus takes the food before his expression can betray him. Zeb watches out of the corner of his eye as Callus takes a bite, reveling in the way Cal briefly closes his eyes and flares his nostrils, savoring actual flavor for once. Callus doesn't thank Zeb for cooking, but Zeb knows what his gratitude looks like after all this time. It's subtle, it's uncomfortable, but it's there. "You gotta rest," Zeb says, after chewing a bite of his own. "I'll mind the sensors for a shift." "I'm fine," Callus says, so automatic and so rote that Zeb barely hears it most of the time. Zeb makes himself hear it this time. He's been reminding himself for days that he can't just dismiss the stuff Cal says that Zeb doesn't want to hear. So, Zeb angles his seat towards Callus and says, very deliberately, "You're not fine." Callus tears off another bite of food and chews mechanically, not looking at Zeb. "I think we ought to talk about why you're not fine," Zeb says, stomach twisting. He's been dreading this. Callus stares out the viewport without replying. "Cal," Zeb says, putting his hands out in front of him in a helpless gesture. "Listen, I'm sorry." Zeb takes a deep breath. "I pushed you, and I shouldn't have. We were both all worked up like, and I know you'd have made me stop if you were in your right mind, so I know I took advantage, and that's not the kind of man I ever thought I'd be, not the kind of man I want to be." Callus finally snaps. "Stop. What kind of absurd—" "Of course you didn't take advantage, Zeb. I'm not some fainting waif. I didn't try hard enough to stop you, and that's on me. That was my own weakness. I let you stoop to me." "Hang on, stoop to?" Callus's eyes flicker nervously over Zeb and then back to the emptiness of space. He fills his mouth with food to stop talking. "Callus," Zeb growls. Callus chews for a while and then swallows. When he can't avoid it anymore, he just says, "It shouldn't have happened." "Maybe," Zeb says, quieter. "Place and time and all. But I shouldn't have let it happen," Callus insists. Zeb lets out an irritated breath. He finishes his food in one big bite. Then he says, "Remember the last time we had a screaming match, Cal?" "I don't remember. It was about how if you dare tell me how I feel about something one more Ashla-forsaken time, you'll kill me." Callus gives the viewport a belligerent pout. "How could I forget?" He closes his eyes and lets out a short breath. "Promises, promises, Garazeb." Zeb stares at him for a long minute. Then he snorts, rubs his chin, and says, "Well, you know what little death means in real, right?" Callus's eyes snap to Zeb, disbelieving. He looks like he might laugh or burst into tears. Zeb knows he won't do either. He wants to reach out and pull Callus over into his lap, wrap him up in strong arms, and restrain his struggling until he falls apart. Zeb knows it would do Cal good to cry. He also knows it won't happen, and he can't demand it. Quietly, Zeb says, "I didn't say or do a damn thing I didn't mean, Cal." "Well," Callus says. His voice is rough. "Stop meaning it." Zeb shrugs. "You don't get any say over that." He searches Cal's face for the spark of understanding. Of reciprocity, maybe. "A whole lot of my life's been shit. You're not. I'm not stupid to nothing, wanting you. You're not beneath me. You're not..." Zeb huffs, hunting for words. "You're not street trash, and you're not my enemy. You're doing so good, Cal." Callus's eyes are bright now. He whispers, "Stop. You're doing good, and I'm glad I'm with you, getting to see it." Zeb tilts his head. "And you're damn fine to look at. So, no, I meant it all, and I'm not sorry it happened." He takes a slow breath. "And if you want it to happen again, you know where I am." Callus has frozen in his seat, staring out the viewport again. "Not right now," Zeb clarifies. "Finish eating and go get some sleep before I knock you out cold." By rote, Callus mutters, "Like to see you try." This isn't the first time Zeb's threatened him with a solid right hook as a sleep aid. Nervous warmth flutters in Zeb's stomach as it occurs to him that maybe he could start offering a different sort of sleep aid. Not quite yet, but maybe once Callus has come around a little further. Zeb turns to the console and pokes at a couple of readouts to check that they're still drifting in isolation. He makes it obvious that he's done talking, and Cal seems relieved to take the offered escape. Callus heads to the back of the ship at once, stuffing the rest of his dinner in his mouth on his way to disappearing inside the minuscule Sonic, where he'll probably have a silent meltdown, if Zeb had to guess. The scent of his panic is stronger than he thinks it is. Zeb's been around humans long enough to know that the polite thing to do is look away and let them freak out in peace. He's feeling optimistic, though. The conversation could have gone a lot worse. And aside from Callus's tiresome self-loathing and his inevitable spiraling, Zeb savors the other, even stronger smell still lingering around the pilot's seat. Arousal. It might be a while before Callus is able to address the subject again, but Zeb is confident now that they're not done with each other yet. Not by a long shot. The end.